I'm David Ensor, the director of the Voice of America, and I'm excited about talking in the next few minutes about the future of our wonderful company. We're doing this on the day that actually is our birthday. This is the day. So we'll be talking about that more. But first, look at this. How about that red, white, and blue? Voice of America. Before we really get started, I'd like to recognize a few distinguished visitors that we have with us today to help us celebrate and talk about our future. First, I'd like to recognize Mary Bitterman and Alan Heil in our audience today. It's our good fortune to have them visiting. Mary was the director of the Voice of America in 1980-81, a period of a lot of news, right? The Iran hostage crisis, let's see, the Soviets in Afghanistan, the fallout from that. Lech Walesa, my friend.
Liberia,
the Moscow Olympics. A lot was going on. And she was a... And she could go on. There, a busy period. So if we think it's busy now, you should have seen it then, right? Thank you very much for coming and helping us to celebrate today. And Alan Heil needs no introduction, former deputy director of Voice of America, the conscience of VOA, the historian. Thank you for coming, Alan. I'd also like to recognize our partners, our indispensable partners for Voice of America. This is Richard Lobo, Dick Lobo, the director of the IBB, and his team, which is well represented in the room today. Dick, you know that Voice of America could not be what it is without the indispensable and hard work of the IBB folks, many of whom are former VOAers anyway. So thank you very much for coming to help us mark this day, and thanks to the team for being here with us. Now, let's get on with this. We may have one other guest who's coming in a minute, but I'll introduce him when he walks in. You know, in our business, nothing ever stands still. And I'd like to talk about today about the future of the Voice of America as I see it from my seat in the director's chair for the moment. Let's start with Central News. Central News, the news division, is the heart, in a way, of Voice of America. And it's going to remain that way in the future, I think. But its role is evolving and changing under the leadership of Sonia Pace and others on the table, on the dais here with me today. Some of the senior leaders of the Voice of America are also here. For decades, News Division has been responsible for feeding all the CN material to every language service. And that's continuing today. But now we're building a new model. It's a central hub that not only sends out content, but one that takes in content, that organizes and coordinates with reporters and producers in the field to offer fuller packages that take advantage of our worldwide news gathering operation. Quite frankly, it is and it's going to evolve in this direction, accelerating in the coming weeks and months. It's a different way of doing business. So what's different? For starters, there are fewer CNs, fewer Central News wire pieces. But we're doing more in-depth bios, explainers, timelines, graphs, charts, that sorts of thing, right? We're boosting the original story output from Voice of America Central News. And that doesn't have to be a completed story. It can be parts that a language service can use. It can be text, a video element, or a full package. We've added more writers and editors under Sonia's leadership that are working the overnight shift to boost content for the many early morning deadlines. And let's face it, unfortunately for us Washingtonians, most of our big shows that have a large audience, they're in our morning, sometimes early in our morning. So we're having to adapt to that and make sure we have people in and thinking with their heads turned on at the hours that we need them to be there for our major audiences. There's a web team that's been created by Sonia. We're working more closely with programmers. You recently teamed up with the teams from Urdu and Persian to do reporting trips in Iraq and Kuwait.
Absolutely.
Which were right there, yeah. There's a coverage desk now. And Sonia, maybe you can say a word about that. And there's more use of language service material and an increased amount of sharing with other BBG entities. And we're going to move a lot in that direction in the coming months and years. So, Sonia, how's it going? What's next?
I think it's going really well. And I love that video, you know, because to me, you know, none of that was staged. We had, obviously, we were taking video in the room, but this is what we do. And what I like about it, it's a newsroom that's on the move. It's not just sitting there. Yes, it's doing the work that still has to be done in the central newsroom. But if you looked at that video, we were all over the place. We were out in the field. And whether it's in Iowa or New Hampshire or Florida, we've got teams out there. In one of that was in Kuwait, in Iraq. And one of the different things is, and I don't think we've done this much in the past, and I've been around here a while, we're teaming up with colleagues from the language services to produce some of this material. And that's what I like about the idea is, you know, in the old days, the newsroom sent things out. Things emanated from the newsroom and went to the programmers. And now we're trying to change that to some extent. We still want to, obviously, and need to send things out, but we're also taking stuff in and turning it around and sending it back out. So that's our formula, a lot of changes. We're not done yet. You know, the web team has just been up and running for a couple of months. It's doing great stuff. It has a ways to go. We need to do more original material, and frankly, we're going to have to rely a lot on our colleagues from the language services, because if we put all our people together overseas in the U.S., you know, we've probably got more boots on the ground than most any other news organization, and I don't think we've made real good use of that. So I think we can do that, and that's why we're doing the changes, making the changes in the newsroom, so we can work more smartly, more efficiently, frankly. And that coverage desk is part of that. The coverage desk is a signing desk. It's traffic cop. It's working with the folks in the newsroom, with the reporters, but it's also working with the programs to make sure that the programs get material on time, but to also get material from the programmers and say, come on, feed us some material too so we can turn it around, and so that it becomes much more of a symbiotic relationship, I think. So I like the idea of a newsroom on the move.
Thanks, Sonia. We could talk a lot more about this, and maybe we will, because we're going to have a Q&A session. If anyone wants to talk about that, let's bring it up. But I want to keep moving, because I don't want to keep you here too long. So let me move on now to Mark Prahl and the operations team, another one of the underpinnings that's absolutely essential to Voice of America's success. And I guess the headline is that a couple weeks ago, was it? Not long ago, anyway.
16th.
January 16th, right. We inaugurated the new state-of-the-art Studio 52 in the basement of this building. And the first broadcast on was TV Ashna from Afghanistan. Now, Studio 52 is an extraordinary step up for Voice of America television. It has three distinct looks. The main set features one of those big walls, 16x6 video wall, capable of showing six different video feeds at the same time. A second set features a couch and would remind you, I suppose, of some of the morning shows on the commercial broadcast, that kind of a setting where you can have a conversation. And the third set offers a control room backdrop. Let's take a look.
Did he give me the shot on three?
It's going to be a very fast-paced program.
This can be a topical, this can be the logo.
Sounds like your face, but not your whole chair.
We'll be able to make this a very, very flexible studio.
A open is there, B open is here, right?
From here, that's our camera over there.
We take Mark.
Dark blue.
This is amazing, especially the big screen. That's like our big weapon.
One of the other benefits of Studio 52 is it gives Voice of America employees and television producers an opportunity to see what is possible. Studio 52's opportunities opens up a lot of other doors for producers to try new things that will then give our audiences a better experience on television.
So, pretty exciting stuff for VOA as we move forward with that new studio, and there's more to come. I want to thank VOA Associate Director for Operations Mark Prahl and his team for all the hard work getting this thing up and running. And maybe last but not least is the master control that does that controls the whole output and input for television. Mark, how does that master control improve our game? And for you guys in ops, what's next?
Well, as the Studio 52 showcases to the world what we can do, master control should showcase to the VOA what the capabilities of our own staff are, because our own people did the lion's share of the work putting this together, designing and building it. So I want to thank everybody for that right now. What it gives us really is a 21st century broadcast nerve center, something we've not had before. It's a fully digital transmission chain through our master control. We'll have the capability to run up to 12 network channels, and it's got full broadcast automation for scheduling, playback, and recording. And also we've got some enhanced quality control capabilities that we haven't had in the past. Now, coming up in the future with our colleagues at TSI, we will see some Dilett television upgrades coming to the Dilett television software system that we work with every day, and a long overdue Dilett radio software upgrade version coming down. And finally, the smaller projects that we've got going on right now is we're going to gain some features to enhance our ability to gather news on Capitol Hill and inside this building. So that's kind of what's right around the corner here.
Thank you, Mark. And there's also plans to upgrade the VOA New York studio, the New York Bureau. We're hoping to be able to do some broadcasting, particularly in Farsi, but other languages as well. And we're going to try to make space also there to have folks from our sister networks operating out of our facility there as well. So I'm pretty excited. We're going to go up in the next few days and have a look at the facility and figure out what can be done. And in the coming months, the money's put aside, so that's going to happen. Now let me go to language programming, where we are at this point 43 language services, informing and entertaining 141 million people. I've just realized that I skipped a page. I never came back. You know, so let me do this for a second. Control room, I'm going to need those two graphics, okay? Can you go back to those? Because what I want to mention is that this is the 70th birthday of the Voice of America. This is the day, February 1st, 1942, when a small team of broadcasters went on the air on shortwave radio to New York with the words, "The news may be good, the news may be bad. We will tell you the truth." That is what we are still doing here at Voice of America. We do it on many media. As I mentioned a second ago, VOA, I don't know if we have the graphic, has now grown into a multimedia enterprise with an estimated worldwide audience of 141 million people, broadcasting 24/7 in radio, television, on the internet, and social media. The breakdown, as you see here, our weekly global audience is 80 million on the radio, 70 million on the television, 4.3 million on the internet. And now take a look, if we've got the second graphic, at the trend lines over the last 5 years. TV is up, yes. Internet growing rapidly from a low base 5 years ago. But look, that radio is still doing very nicely, pretty well as well. So we no longer broadcast to people, only broadcast to people. We also use social media to connect, engage, and converse with them. We have 49 websites, and nearly every one of our language services is on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media platforms. So with that introduction, coming back to language programming, 43 set services. Back in 1942 when we started, the language services were basically translators and announcers. The journalism was left to Central News. That just isn't the case any longer. And the trend line is that we are going to be relying more and more on the very solid journalists that we have in our programming, in our language programming services. So let me talk just for a minute now about a few initiatives that the language services team under first John Lennon and now Rebecca McMiniman have been working on since I got here. Let me start with DIWA. DIWA, the DIWA Radio, one of our most successful radio services reaching to the federally administered tribal district of Pakistan and to parts of Afghanistan. Just a terrific group of dedicated journalists. And in the last few days and weeks, they're now not only on the radio, they're on television too. Let's take a look.
Tasu, the America Hug, DIWA Radio Avery.
زمون هم کار در افغان سب سر بدقا پروگرام تا سی سبا و بجی و ما خام کیاوری و جلیل مون سر نور سدی
شفاق ممند یو ریپورت لرو د خیبر ایجنسی که د روانو عملیاتو لوجی
چه هر زیارت پروز زمونگا د خزو پا حق لونیز پروگرامی او پدی که مونگا
So this is basically radio on TV. It's not wonderful. It's not a wonderful piece of television drama with great pictures, but it gives people a chance to see their favorite programmers, and it puts our programming simulcast on two different boxes. As more and more people in the tribal districts to the west of Pakistan get televisions, and I have seen, I know that they have them, let's just put it that way. There are more and more dishes on the roofs of houses there. We want to be on that other box as well. We have a loyal radio audience. There's a limit to how much more it can grow because more people are getting television. We want to be on that box too. So this is our goal, and this may be a model that we can follow in some other parts of the world where we have a strong radio audience, but where people are more and more getting televisions. We want to stay with them as they commute, if they do. So, let's look now at Burmese television. And as I stand here speaking to you, Luin, the head of our Burmese service, is in Burma with the folks from OMPP having a conversation with the government of Burma. I mean, those of you who don't follow it closely, this is an incredible moment. The Burmese government appears to be deciding to open up. They seem to have recognized that Voice of America is an important broadcaster in Burma, and that they'd rather have us actually be able to do more. So there's talk about more visas. There's a conversation going on about whether some VOA program might even be allowed to be on terrestrial television and radio run by the state of the Burmese state. We shall see. But in any case, we're not waiting on our laurels in the Burmese service. The Burmese TV magazine show, which is a weekly show, has now been changed so that it has a fresh top, a fresh hard news top, 6 days a week. Let's take a look.
Hi, တင်ပါတယ
်ဒီနေ့အစီအစဉ်မှာနောက်ဆုံးရမြန်မာနဲ့နိုင်ငံ
ဆံမိုးရှိတဲ့သင်္ကန်းတွေလည်းဖြစ်ပါလိမ့်မယ်ဖလော်ရီဒါမှာနောက
်ဒီလိုလောက်ကိုင်းနေကြတဲ့ဒီလိုရှာနိုင်ငံကမိခင်တွေဟာ
ကျွန်တော်ကြည့်ကြည့်တဲ့အဲဒီစီတင်ပါတယ်
Thank you. Okay, well now, with all the talk about television and new media, and you guys know I was in television for many years, let me just say I was also in radio. My roots are in radio, National Public Radio. And let me say this. At Voice of America, radio rocks. No question about it. Radio today still delivers 57%. Of our worldwide audience. In Africa, it delivers 90% of our audience on that continent. Shortwave radio, still enormously important for Voice of America in key markets. In Nigeria alone, VOA's shortwave Hausa broadcast draws 14 million listeners. That's out of a total of 21 million, the rest are on medium wave. Now, radio has a strong presence now. It's going to have a strong presence in the future. We do need to be smart about it. And in most countries, that means trying to develop, when we can, partnerships with local stations, key stations, that will broadcast our programs on FM, because FM is the way human beings are headed in terms of radio to the extent possible. We've had great luck with this strategy in places like Phnom Penh, where more than 80% of our VOA audience reports listening to local FM affiliates. Let's take a quick look at radio.
...62% of the adult population in Haiti gets their news from VOA Creole. We interact with our audience in Haiti through weekly calling shows and also through town hall meetings. All of our staff members really go the extra mile.
The Khmer service serves the audience of Cambodia tremendously well. The domestic media is extremely limited. The Khmer service really fills that gap.
VOA Swahili broadcast to our audience is very important because the region we are broadcasting to has had a history of a lot of controls by government.
Kahapa studio zetu za Sauti America, Washington DC.
We keep on engaging them through different platforms that are attractive to them. The audience looks at VOA Swahili as providing very critical, credible news to them.
One of the biggest phenomena we need to watch in radio is the growth of the use in mobile phones as a receiver for radio. Up in Afghanistan, when I was working at the U.S. Embassy there, you'd see people walking around with a mobile and a little earpiece, or on the bus, on bicycles. They're listening to the radio. And if it's in Afghanistan, you can count on it. It's either our colleagues at Radio Azadi, RFE, or it's us. 90% of the time. We're the biggest voices there. So that way of receiving radio is a big part of our future. In Bangladesh, more than a third of our regular radio listeners use a mobile phone to tune in. The comparable figure in Indonesia is 25%. Morocco, it's 20%. I want to turn now to the leader and leaders of our language programming. First, I'd like to say a thank you to John Lennon, who's so ably led language programming for the last 4 years. John, thank you for your leadership. John is remaining on the leadership team. He's now our associate director for strategy and planning, working very closely with the IBB and the BBG folks to help us stay part of the strategy of international broadcasting, make sure they know our needs, make sure they know what we can offer them, and make sure we have our bases covered with them and we know what they want from us. Sitting next to him, Rebecca McMiniman is now the acting associate director for language programming. So you're in the hot seat now, Rebecca. Let me ask you, after a few weeks, how does it look to you?
Well, it feels like a few weeks. It's actually only been about a week and a half, but it's been an exhilarating close to 2 weeks. And, you know, really what I see is that we are entering a new era for Voice of America. After years of sort of building up FM, building an FM presence, hiring language-qualified journalists, strengthening, building our television, new media, online infrastructure, We are here. We now have more opportunity to reach our audiences in more ways than ever before. And so what I see from the language programming lens is that this also brings with it a lot of new responsibilities. And the language services are rising to that challenge. You've seen some examples of new creative programming, creative uses of new production techniques for radio and television, use of new digital platforms. You mentioned mobile. It's one of my pet interests, and I was looking at our web stats last night. 20% of our audience, the traffic to voanews.com, is reaching us via mobile devices now. So it is growing. And what we want to do from language programming, our goal is going to be to foster this innovation. It's springing up organically across the agency. And so we want to nurture that. We want to give you room to sort of experiment, try new formats, and try new things, because that really is going to continue to be the key to our future success.
Thanks, Rebecca. Got to keep moving. So I want to talk briefly now about new media initiatives. And you kind of teed this up for me here. Let's just look at one for a second that's about to launch. Podelis, which means, if I've got it right, share in Russian. This is being led, an effort being led by Sheila Ganji and Alan Mlatasuma. And this is going to be unlike anything we've ever had before. And you correct me if I get this wrong, because it doesn't exist yet, and I'm only kind of trying to understand it. But it's a new VOA Russian language newscast that makes the audience the main driver of the show. So Podelis means share, and the idea is to use social media and take it to a new level, harnessing internet programs like Skype, Twitter, and Storify to plug citizen journalists in and viewers directly into the live broadcast. So the hosts will not just be anchors. They won't just be reading off a teleprompter. They'll be responding directly to members of the audience. And the audience will be able to pick the topics to be covered. They'll be able to discuss breaking news. They can supply pictures, video feeds. This is aimed at something that my 15-year-old son is a member of, the second screen culture, if I have that right. He seems to be able to watch two screens simultaneously and say he's doing his homework at the same time. I gather there are a lot of people who speak Russian and all also claim to be able to do this. So that's the group we want to get, frankly. Let's see here. Let me just ask for a word or two on this, Alan. First of all, when's it launching?
We had a soft launch this morning. We streamed it live via Ustream, and we're going to send the product back to some of the most important social media influencers back in Russia, get another round of feedback. But since we preparing this, we were streaming live, even rehearsals, to tell the audience that this is actually their show. They are the primary driver of the content and co-creators of the show with us. And we generate about 500 people following the Podelis brand on Twitter without even being launched yet. So we hope that Podelis is the future of the television. We believe that it will engage audience directly and provide this cross-purpose in the television and digital media, and allow them to participate in news creation with us. What we are very proud of is that this was a very collaborative effort from the very get-go. And like the project that Central News is engaging other language services, this project started as a digital sprint, including people from the Office of Digital Design Innovation, from other language services, from OMPP. We started as a digital sprint, made it to this first phase. Now we're integrating a software-based character generator for the television that will allow audience to go and create content for a program in the real time. The second important thing, and I would like to stress that too, is that we're using cost-effective or free technologies for the entire production, using everything that is already available to the audience, so we are at the same level with them in this collaborative effort.
Great. Well, Sheila and Alan, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing how this turns out. Others may follow. Let me talk about Chinese for a minute, about the China, about the People's Republic of China and our approach to it. Here's what I would like to do to revitalize and enhance our program offerings to that very important country. It is, you know, we have an audience there, there's no question about that, but we need, I desperately want us to have a larger audience in China. It's an essential national security goal for the United States. We're good, but we're not good enough in this area, not at all. So working with our China branch, headed by Sasha Gong, Sasha, right here in the front, and with Bill Baum, and with the Mandarin team, we've developed a proposal which I've frankly been going up to the Hill with folks from the IBB and BBG staff to pitch, which is that we would like to put a two-hour-a-day satellite television program on in Mandarin. Right now we have 1 hour. We'd like to make that program a lot fresher, more interactive, and more aimed at young people. So let me now just first let me just tell you why. 10.7% of the Chinese people either have a satellite dish or have access to product from one, according to our research data. That's a big audience, a big potential audience. It's a group we really, really want to reach out for. So we're also going to try to move on to the KU band with the help of the TSI folks who've concluded that that would be a better way, a better platform for us, that more people have dishes that are compatible with KU band than with the current thing we're on, C-band. So this is all part of an overall effort. Now, to be able to pay for that in a time when we're not going to have more money from the federal government, we're going to have to make changes. And, you know, let me just put this frankly to you. Right now we broadcast 8 hours of shortwave radio in Mandarin, and my proposal that I'm taking to the Hill is to cut that in half and broadcast 4 hours a day of shortwave in Mandarin. With the funds that's saved by doing that, we can start this satellite TV project, which my feeling is, I can almost taste it, is going to produce a bigger audience. I do not want to give up shortwave radio, however, because I do believe that there's an audience there too. So we need to be flexible, we need to be trying experiments in international broadcasting to try to get those audiences. This is an experiment. And we built a sizzle reel, as I call it, to try to take around, to show people on the Hill and try to get them enthused about it. Here's just a short segment from that.
Weishi is your primary source for breaking news, especially on matters concerning U.S.-China relations.
You've got a bunch of export producers in China who like the system as it is.
Every half hour, we will bring you the news headlines. Every weekday, we will wrap up all the world news headlines on China, and the panel of experts will discuss what the new developments really mean. We'll give our Chinese audience a voice, too, with regular call-in segments where they can voice opinions they cannot voice at home.
We'll offer several fun ways to learn English. OMG 美语 is a highly entertaining way to learn English that's young and hip.
VOA Weishi will be highly interactive, maximizing social media sites like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Citizen Video, and Skype. On Campus Report, Chinese students at American universities will send us iReports via Skype and cell phone. We'll encourage viewers to call and send us emails with their comments.
VOA Weishi will be your window on America. American Report introduces you to real people and real places you may not have heard of. We'll bring you arts and culture, including profiles about some of the most interesting and talented Americans. And VOA Weishi will bring you American political humor through a new segment. Is that funny?
And what's a new show without a little spice? We'll have the celebrity news and reviews of the latest movies released in the U.S. and around the world. VOA Weishi, news that they aren't allowed to access in China.
VOA Weishi, with new ways for people to participate and get to know America, Americans, and American values.
VOA Weishi, the Chinese people's go-to destination for anything they want to know about America.
thanks to the hard work of the Mandarin service in preparing this proposal, which I very much hope we can get the advice and consent of Congress for and get started. And Bill Baum says a couple of months after they say go, we start. And thanks also to the irrepressible Jessica Beinecke for helping us with the video, for helping the Mandarin service with the video. Now, moving on, Persian. Let me talk about another very important service for just a second. First, I want to acknowledge Ramin Asgard, who's in the front here, row here. His detail to us from the State Department, a Foreign Service officer, who's been acting who's been the director for us, ends this week. He's done some wonderful outreach to the Iranian-American community. He's been the spear, the tip of the spear, in terms of our efforts to fight jamming by the Iranian government of our broadcasts. Ramin, I really want to personally and on behalf of the whole of VOA, thank you. Thank you very much for your year helping us at VOA Persian. We're not sitting still, though. Under Ramin's leadership, we've added some new television programs. There are going to be more. Executive editor Steve Reddish is going to be performing the role, at least for a few months, of acting director of VOA Persian. And under his leadership, I know we're going to do some more. We're going to innovate some more. And we'll work on the New York thing as well. We've got some very exciting ideas, but it's not quite ready for prime time, some of them, so let me leave it at that for the moment. We will, of course, also be working on identifying, under Steve's leadership, identifying the next director of VOA Persian. Now, English, very important to us. It's our language. It's what we speak. And it's something that we can offer the world through language teaching, through special English on the air. We plan to innovate in English despite severe restrictions on our budget. There's still some things we can do. And I want to just talk to you about one example. This is going to be a half-hour weekly show. We're calling it On Assignment. And I want to thank Joy Wagoner for leading this effort. This is going to be a show about our journalism. People are shy around here. I think a little too, as a guy from the commercial world, I think you're all a little too shy about how good you are. So On Assignment is going to strut our stuff a little bit. Let's take a look.
Imran Siddiqui from VOA's Urdu TV.
And I'm Alex Villarreal. I'm an English language reporter, and we are going to take you on assignment.
Let's go.
By Iraqi traditions, women are considered the glue that holds society together.
The women were frightened. The men were frightened.
I'm here with VOA's Carolyn Persuti, who recently went to Haiti.
You know, it was quite a tremendous earthquake.
Between these two families, they make 8 different handicrafts.
All of a sudden, the security guy came over to me and then, hey, you are not allowed to shoot anything here.
This is a story about the empowerment of Muslim women in the West.
Got really close to this Taekwondo team that had all Muslim women on the team.
We're going to put this show on soon, and we're going to see if we can't get ourselves some affiliates. But in the meantime, I just want to get it on and get it on our satellite feeds. Now, let me move next to the subject of workplace satisfaction. And this is a good moment to recognize a very distinguished guest who's just walked in, one of our 9 governors, Governor Victor Ashe. Sir, thank you for coming. Thank you for your interest. And I know this is a subject that's close to your heart, that you care a lot about, and you've done some things to show that. Part of delivering a world-class broadcast mission is acknowledging that our employees are our greatest asset. This is a people business, no question about it. And I recognize that VOA has been a problem, that morale has been a problem at VOA for quite some time. It's something that we need to work on. I just want to say from the director's chair, I get it. I understand that that's an issue. I also would just want to say, though, you do have to recognize it's difficult. This is a very difficult enterprise. Running a big, complex network, television and radio and internet news network, within a federal government is a very, very difficult business. We have to recognize the complexity of it, even as we try to make it as effective as we can. I'm going to turn now just for a second to Chief of Staff Barbara Brady. Barbara, can you give us a a quick overview of the most recent employee survey and also talk about the civility in the workplace effort that's underway?
Sure, I'm happy to. You all know the results of the 2011 Federal Employee Satisfaction Survey, and I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about it in brief. You told us what you thought. This is big. 62% of the VOA employees responded to the survey. This is up from 35% in the BBG just 3 years ago. We're glad to hear from you. You also positively responded to the question that you believe your agency is going to use the results of the survey to make it a better place to work. Thank you for that confidence, because that also is fairly new. things we did better on in 2011 were teleworking opportunities, skill level improvement, training, and overall satisfaction in the organization. Areas we have to keep working on include leadership, communication, and performance management. Specifically, VOA employees aren't satisfied with the policies and practices of senior leaders. And you don't like that leaders don't generate high levels of motivation and commitment in the workforce. You are also not happy with performance management. This is comparable to other government results, but VOA does score significantly lower. You don't like that good performance isn't rewarded, and you don't like that poor performance isn't addressed. I guess I'd just like to say on behalf of the whole team up here, we hear you loud and clear. You have our commitment to continue working on these issues. We also are working with the Labor and Management Forum to tackle some of these tougher issues head on. We're going to be creating soon to be launching a task force addressing the survey results. This group of folks from across the agency will take apart the survey information, talk to all of you, and make recommendations regarding improving morale and other workforce issues, workplace issues affecting your satisfaction. But speaking of these issues, I'd also like to tell you about something fairly exciting that we've got going on. It's a civility in the workplace campaign. How we treat each other, how we talk to each other, affects morale and employee satisfaction. Today marks the formal launch of this campaign effort, created by a group of your fellow coworkers, increasing awareness of appropriate behavior in the workplace and identifying core values that should guide us all. Just a few points of information that might help you put it in context. In a study of over 800 employers, 96% of those surveyed have experienced incivility at work. 48% of employees claim they were treated uncivilly at least once a week. This is not us. This is 800 other employers. 94% of those workers who are treated uncivilly say that they get even with their offenders.
That's interesting.
And one I have no trouble believing, unfortunately. I'd like to just say, as the poster says, pause, keep it civil. Look for more information over the next few months about the campaign and ways you can participate. The website is going to be up on there soon, and I'd like to acknowledge the members of the work group. If you would please stand. Please, all of you stand. Those of you who helped plan this effort, there'll be training, there'll be brown bags, and we really would like you to come and seek out any of us if you have any questions about what we're going to be talking about. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks, Barbara. Thank you. So one more short segment before we open it up to questions and comments. We started the show here by showing you the new logo. And it's the old logo, but it's in red, white, and blue. We did a little quiet polling. And I believe I have some knowledge you may not have. People felt very strongly in the workforce that the voice of America ought to be in America's colors. So we've taken it back there. Now, these changes are going to come over the coming months. We don't have the money to do it all at once and change everything all at once. But you'll start to see an evolution to red, white, and blue from the gray, green, and blue. And we'll also have an alternate possibility, which is blue and white, which will work well on the internet and some other things. Diane Butts is leading this effort, so Diane, thank you for that. And a little bit more, please, on how this is going to roll out. What's the timing?
David, you've pretty much covered it. Over the course of about 1 year, so that we can save money, we'll roll out the new logo. It first debuted in Studio 52 a few weeks ago with Ashna, Persian, and Spanish. We're rolling through Studio 51 and then the other studios. You'll see it next in print. And you also see one color iterations, as you did with the blue, gray, and green, on the web and on our promotional items. So it'll take about 1 year, and you'll start to see the others come down.
Thank you very much. Now, let's open up the microphones, which we have in both highways here. And I look forward to your comments on what you've seen, your suggestions for what else we ought to be doing, your questions for me. I want to just clarify a couple of things before we get started with this part of the event, which is, first of all, it's probably pretty obvious to most in the room. I cannot discuss, I cannot presage, I cannot predict the president's fiscal year 2013 budget. Anything that has to do with what will be in that budget, I can't talk about right now. There will be a time and a place for that, but it will be after the president has made his announcement. Let me ask you to identify yourself, limit yourself to one question or comment, and so we can get more people in if there are a lot of people who'd like to, and let's open it up. Would anyone like to be the guinea pig? Be first and go to the microphone. Sasha, great.
Well, it's just a very short comment. The Chinese government recently plan to spend $7 billion for propaganda overseas, and they are hiring 600 people in the United States for CCTV and to broadcast within the United States. So I think in this game, we are the David, like you, and they are the Goliath, but I think we win.
Yeah. I like that metaphor because David won. And I think David can win again. To be honest, I am worried about this. I think we all are. That's a large amount of money, and the Chinese state does have real economic power at this point. But they don't have the strength of our ideas. They don't have the strength of the concept of freedom, the concept of objectivity, something that journalists always never quite get to but always aim for. I'm very, very proud of those old-fashioned journalistic values that VOA has, and even more old-fashioned ideas of democracy and freedom that the United States has. And no matter how much money they spend, our ideas are stronger, in my opinion. That said, this is a real challenge. And it's a talking point, certainly, as we go around the hill and say, can you please let us try some experiments to try to reach more people in the Chinese mainland? We want to have an audience there. We want to have a dialogue with the Chinese people. And it has to be two ways. Please. Come up to a... Here, wait, I'll come to you.
My name is Hu Chenzhen. I'm from China branch. Thank you, Mr. Anser, for recognizing the importance of China and broadcasting to China. And we thank you for making an effort to reach out to the Chinese people, and we embrace your plan to expand our satellite TV program. But at the same time, I would like to point out one potential danger. As you explained in your first and most recent blog on satellite jamming, you said Iran is doing that. Yes. All they need to do is to send a bogus signal which overwhelms our signal. I would like to say that's also a potential in the case of China. Some of your colleagues, our leaders here in this building, tend to think that China is not a rich country. I would like to say, if needs be, it can be. It will do whatever it takes to block us. And as far as satellite transmission is concerned, I would think it's easier for them to jam it than to jam our shortwave radio signals. So while expanding our TV program, I would like to plead to you and other top managers of Voice of America to rethink of cutting shortwave, because it is still a very effective way of reaching out to the Chinese people. They can jam us in the coastal areas, but they can't do that all that effectively in the vast Chinese countryside. And Sasha mentioned that the $7 billion the Chinese government is spending in this country and other countries, their propaganda and all that. I would like to suggest to you and other top leaders that we reach out to the Congress and we reach out otherwise, you know, to other people. And I also heard that by cutting the 4 hours, we save like $400,000 to $600,000. And it's not guaranteed that we can retain the money for TV production. So I would like to just to, you know, ask you people to rethink on that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Let me just react to that. You know, I would love to go to Congress and ask for more money. I would love to do that. But our country is in fairly difficult financial state right now. What we are doing, the leadership, Dick Lobo and I, and the board, have made a decision. We're not going to reduce our funding for broadcasting in Mandarin. We're going to keep that funding at the same level. We're going to move things around a little bit to try this experiment. Now, if the Chinese government jams our satellite television, which they have never done to date, but if they should follow the Iranian example and try to do that, we'll adjust. We're going to keep our shortwave radio capabilities up 4 hours a day. We're going to keep them strong. We'll be ready to shift back if we have to. We'll try other platforms. We're going to get through to the Chinese people one way or another. This is an experiment to see if we can't reach more of them. I hope it'll work, and I hope it'll have your support, as I see it does. In terms of more money, I'd love to have more money, and maybe down the road, if this shows success, we can get more money. But I'm a realist at the same time, and I'm impatient. We want to get on with something. And I think this is something that could make a difference. So it's an experiment that I want to try. You do have to pay for it in the form of cutting something back in order to do it. But, you know, we're not stopping shortwave radio. We're going to have a good, solid amount of hours of that. And, of course, our sister networks will also be continuing in their shortwave broadcast to China. Next person over here. Well, why don't you come to this mic?
David Hutchins with the English Service and Middle East Voices. I want to ask you about the Smith Month provision in the new innovation bill that's going to be proposed this year.
Yeah.
What are the odds you think Smith Month might be revoked, and what opportunities do you think that would bring to the services if it were? Like, where would be distributed programming innovation? Thanks.
Right, right. Well, this sort of raises the whole question of the reforms that the board has voted for, the law that the board has voted to ask the administration and Congress to pass. So let me just cover that for a second. It's a very, very important development. A couple of weeks ago, the board voted unanimously to put a message out that it is asking the Obama administration and the Congress to consider passing new legislation, which would do several things. One thing it would do is set up a strong CEO for all of international broadcasting. I believe that this is an essential step. Right now, the way the hierarchical structure, the way the structure is organized of the leadership of international broadcasting, it just doesn't work as well as it should. So I very strongly favor, as does Dick, a CEO structure. And we'll be talking, there'll be 1,000 opinions on this, both in the room probably and on the Hill and so forth. But it's a discussion we want to get started with. As you say, also we are asking Congress to amend the Smith-Mundt Act. Now, it'll be up to Congress how much of it they want to amend and what exactly they want to do. What we're bottom line asking for is something that helps us deal with this example I'm going to give you. We have Minnesota FM radio stations coming to us and saying, hey, can we have your Somali service in Somali for Minnesota? Because there's a lot of people here who speak that language and they miss it. They know it from home. And we have to say to them, no, it's illegal. Have you thought of going on the internet? You know, And it's the Internet that, in a way, makes a mockery of the Smith-Mundt Act. Our language services can be heard by anybody on Earth. Things have changed. The Smith-Mundt Act is out of date. Now, how far Congress decides to amend it, whether they say, let's toss it, or toss the whole idea that you can't broadcast here, Voice of America, I don't know. But our sense is, in the leadership, that what we're told by those who follow Congress closely for us is that we have pretty good chances of getting some amendment here, some reform. Whether it'll just say everything but English, or whether it'll say, Voice of America, do your own thing, I don't know. And we're just not there yet. So I don't want to speculate. But I think our chances are good of some reform, and that'll be great. Because why not? Why not reach the diasporas at a minimum? Now, if they say we can broadcast in English, that's a whole new story. If they do that, let's have another meeting and talk about it, because that would be very, very interesting. But in any case, I think the narrow idea of us being allowed to broadcast, to give our broadcast to affiliates here in the United States in various languages, I think that has, our sense is that has a decent chance. Let's hope so. Please, get the microphone over here.
Yes, hi. My name is Miguel Rivera. I'm from the Latin American division here at the Voice of America. For the past 15 years, I have been teaching stress management in different areas in the Voice of America, Air and Space Museum, American Indian Museum, and the State Department. Many students I have here at the Voice of America can vouch for that.
Yeah, we know something about stress here.
Well, I have been conversing directly and working closely with John Lennon, Jack Welch, and Delia Johnson to bring about a system of stress management that is completely sanctioned by management here at the Voice of America. And I look forward to the moment in which we can say that we are deeply interested and are deeply working to reduce the amount of stress in every single part of this agency.
That's a great thought. Thank you very much for raising it. I'm stressed myself, actually. In fact, it's a little stressful being up here at the moment, but it's also fun. Please.
Yeah. My name is Deepak. I'm from Urdu Service, and I won't raise a micro issue, and that may relate to a much broader issue. My thing is that with the deregulation in third world, so-called third world, in the last few years, now television services have to compete in an open market where there are other channels also. Suppose, for example, in Pakistan.
Yep.
And my concern is that anyone who has worked in private television channel knows that there is no concept of time, that you don't work for 8 hours and 45 minutes. If someone wants to work for 2 hours more, and so when it comes to VOA and within the federal structure, the thing is that if my cameraman or my editor or my graphic artist or any producer or someone else wants to work, he really is into the story, he's editing the story, he can make it look better, much better. But then you tell him you can't work for more than 8 hours. Or you tell the PO or the staffer that it's not possible for you to, you will have to fill the forms in order to get your comp off. And then you'll have to copy it, send it, and all those things. So my thing is, can't this thing be relaxed in a much better way so that we can really work in a television environment? Because we want to work, we want to make a good product. But there are certain constraints.
Yes.
And these are small, small irritations which come in your way.
Yeah. You know, I probably this is an area, I think you've raised a point that everyone in the room has heard, and there's some people who professionally worry about this kind of question in the room who've heard your point, and it's a good one. It's not something that I'm into the details and can give you a kind of good, pithy response to, but the issue of how we get our jobs done, what the hours are, how we do it, how we can be the best we can be, it's an important question, and thank you for raising it. Anyone else? That's it? Well, going once, going twice. That's fine. I'm really delighted to have had such a good turnout today. Thank you very much for coming. I arrived here to find a strong VOA, a very strong VOA, quite frankly. But I do believe it can be stronger. And I'm very focused on impact. What is the impact we can have on the places we want to reach? We're all working to try to make VOA a productive and a professional work environment. We understand there's a long way to go on that. It's a work in progress. It's never going to be perfect. You know, I've worked in a lot of newsrooms. Journalists, we're professionally skeptical, professionally have curmudgeonly tendencies. That's fine. That's our profession. That's always going to be. And that's appropriate. So there's always going to be a kind of give and take. And, you know, I don't think I remember working in a newsroom that would have described itself as happy. And yet many of them were. One of the tasks I want to try and do better on here as director, I want with the help of our IBB staff, I want more Americans to know about VOA. I want them to understand what we contribute to this country's interests. So we will be working together to find ways to reach out to the American public. We're not allowed to lobby them, and we're not allowed to broadcast to them, but we want to make sure in various ways, whether it's on our website or whatever, that the American people are aware of the hard work we do with their taxpayers' dollars. And we'll do that also by better informing the Congress, which funds us. And I'm very excited that that the IBB is about to have a new person on board who's going to be working hard on that effort. To talk to the Congress and some of the other power bases around town that we need to be in touch with. There are going to be some tough decisions that I have to make in this director's job. There already have been. There'll be more. And look, I was hired by the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and I share their vision for an effective, consolidated U.S. international broadcasting. I don't think VOA should fear that vision at all. You know, my predecessor used to say, and I like to quote him, that on 30% of the budget of U.S. international broadcasting, we have 70% of the audience at Voice of America. Well, guess what? It's 75% as of a week or two ago. We're very effective. So finally, my goal is the goal that I'm sure Mary had, that any director has. You come in, you find a pretty strong organization, but your goal is to leave it, when I do leave, stronger, even stronger than it is today. That is my goal as the director of the Voice of America. And with your help, and with the help of the IBB folks, that's what's going to happen. Now, this is our birthday year, and we plan to celebrate the 70th birthday of VOA throughout the year in various ways. But you might want to mark your calendars, because I'm ready to announce today that I think we're going to try to have a real birthday celebration, kind of formal, with the former directors, former board members, people from Congress, various VIPs from around town, on March 7th. So put it in your calendar. I hope we're going to have a celebration here of our 70th birthday. On that day. And that happens to be the day before a board meeting, so hopefully it'll be convenient for some of the board members to come. And of course, one of them is already here today. So we'll invite a lot of our old friends and allies and those with memories of the past 70 years. This has been more of a discussion of the future. We'll celebrate our past as well as talk about the future on March 7th. And I'd like to just thank a few people who helped to make this event possible today, the production crew here in the auditorium and the control room, as well as those out in the hallway who are ready to serve up some birthday cake in a minute. I'd also like to acknowledge by name a few of those who contributed time and effort over the past few days and weeks. Gary Butterworth, Jeff Furrer, Dave Futrovsky, Diane Butts, Mike Tyson, Darren Fox, Susan Jackson, Joy Wagner, Amy Katz, Bart Childs, Chris Allen, Emily Tyler, Karen Dupree, Will Marsh, who really did a lot, Monty Hatcher, and Joan Butler. There are many others who helped, but please, let's thank them for making this possible today. So that's basically it. I want to show a quick little video, minute and a half, that'll tease the event on the 7th. So let's do that now.
This This is a voice speaking from America.
Entendre news and information.
Core values.
Objective. Honest.
What it means to be free.
If I heard it on the Voice of America, I could not but believe it.
This is the Voice of America.
There are two guys going down the Red Square in Moscow, and one of them is making and the other asks, what are you doing? He said, I'm jamming Voice of America inside me.
January 27, 1926. Scottish inventor John Baird presented the first successful public demonstration of television.
I have been working as a radio MC, radio producer, television anchor, reporter, editor, video journalist.
When we originate content, we are originating for radio, TV, and internet.
During my service in the United States Congress, I took the initiative in creating the internet.
The VOAnews.com website became one of the top 10 internet destinations on Google.
We have evolved as an organization. I personally never looked at the past and say those were our best days or best years. No, I'm looking to the future.
Yeah, we are all in one.
We are all in one. And That was just a few quick sound bites, a few clips from a longer video called Reflections, which we're gonna have up soon on the special webpage, which will be inside VOA if you want to find it. You'll hear from former directors, members of the BBG, current and former employees, some grand old moments and so forth will be on that video. We'll have that up soon and throughout the year to get a sense of the thoughts that some of those who've thought and put their careers into this, what their thoughts are on the history and the purpose of the Voice of America. So thanks for coming. Happy birthday. Let's eat some cake. Thank you.